Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Candid, where we have real talks with real people. I'm your host, Shanae, and today I am here with Dudley. Hi, Dudley, how are you?
I'm very tired, Shanae. I'm very tired.
I'm tired too. I've been moving, and moving is not an easy feat, and I don't want to do this ever again in my life.
Moving is a sin, actually. You didn't read that in the Bible. You all skip over that part in the Bible. My goodness, and y'all is wonder why y'all life be so full of hardships. Y'all just don't read the good book.
I don't know what Bible you're reading, but I sure am in there.
Wow, y'all be telling me she sure ain't in there. When last you picked up your Bible, huh?
Today, when actually. Last?
Huh?
Today, actually.
What time today?
At 9:15.
Oh, so you did just only open up the Bible for morning prayers. That's what you're saying.
Psychological, okay?
Oh, this ain't no psychological nothing. This is just asking you, you know, you go on, define the good book, and then you turn around and say, I just read it this morning.
I did. I try to read it every day, you know.
I know about that part, but you know.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, I'll say every day. You're trying to finish it.
Yeah, I try to study it, you know? Become one with
study. Studying is for pastors.
Oh,
pastors, preachers, and members of the clergy. As for me and my house, I will remain not reading the entirety of the Bible. For thanks. I know I just need to know a few parts to win an argument with a behavior.
You know what? Well, okay. But in good news, you know, we're talking about the Lord. I would like to encourage all members of the public who are able and willing and interested to join RBDF. Currently, we have 1,900 working members. And according to Commodore Raymond King, another 3,000 are needed to bolster the organization.
Another 3,000?
Yes, 3,000. And he said that 45 people leave annually. And he said that there are various reasons for this. Oh, he said it's a mixture. The trend has been everyone feels as though the Defense Force is the career for them. And so they join. And they find out within their first contract period, either 3 or 5 years, that, hey, this is not the place for me. He added that other reasons are due to persons taking the job with the mindset that it will only be temporary, and others who have served for decades are deciding to leave before serving until the cutoff age at 60.
I mean,
that's a bad thing.
I mean, I'm confused as to why he's confused that people don't want to wait until they have retirement age to leave a job, but I feel as though if they leave, I mean, whether they leave now or they leave when they're able to retire, they still leave in it.
I guess it's not when he expects them to leave.
I mean, I don't know the average age of people that has joined before us, right? But all I'm trying to say is, what are you talking about 3,000 Defense Force officers? Like, that's the part to get. Why do we need 3,000? Military, because I mean, you know, we don't have a military, we have the Defense Force. That's what they serve, that's their role. What do we need 3,000 military officers for?
They have plenty waters to cover, Dudley.
I understand that, right? But y'all get more boating.
Lord.
But that's a serious question. If you have more manpower, are you getting more boats? Or are they getting more planes? Like, what's the driving force behind this? I'm going to say request. What's the driving force behind this request of his? That, you know, we need Defense Force officers. You all could come and join, eh? And it's like, yeah, I could come and join, but why though? And where you go put me? Cause like, I ain't gonna lie. I just want to understand. I need some guidance and understanding. Where are these people going to work? Like, they need them on the base?
I guess in various areas. But I guess I would assume that the 3,000 is... I don't even know.
You can't assume nothing because it don't make sense. That's such a specific... I mean, it ain't... And the crazy part is, It ain't that it's an unrealistic number. It's that it's just such a wild number that I can't properly comprehend the request. We need 3,000 police officers.
3,000 more. Actually, they have 1,900. So if they get 3,000 more, that'll be 4,900. So 5,000.
What they need all that for? What do y'all need all these people for, bro?
But my question is, do we have the budget to add, if we were to actually get these people, do we have it in our budget to accommodate salaries for all of these people?
As I've been told many times, budgets are suggestions and guidelines for you to try to hope to. You will always go above or underneath your budget. That's the first of all. Second of all, right? What are they talking about? 3,000? As you can see, I am very confused about this.
Baffled and confused.
I am baffled. I feel hoodwinked. Somebody, see, because my thing is, if you're crying, if you're having an outcry for people, there's obviously a reason as to why you're having the outcry. But in order to get people to want to do the thing, you gotta explain why they got to do the thing. So, like, what are we, you know, what is the goal here? Like, is the goal in the article?
All it says is the recruitment continues in order to replace the manpower we lose by attrition and to make up some of the deficiencies that we met in place. This was said by Minister of National Security Wayne Monroe. But I mean, they're only losing...
Wayne Monroe talking again? They letting him talk to the media again?
They only leave 45 every year. And they said they're trying to make up for deficiencies.
So how many years they've been losing if they only need 3,000? Because you would hope that the amount of people that they asking for not only covers the amount of, not only would cover the amount of, the amount of people that they've lost, but it also will account for the people, like they say, who will come in and then they'll do their 3 to 5 years per contract and then leave. So what is the intended purpose? What is being solved? I honestly believe that once you get into the line of service, you will very quickly realize whether or not it's actually for you. Because it's one thing to go through the training and to get in and, you know, all that stuff. That stuff might not be as difficult for some as it is for others. So, you know, a lot of people could get in, you know, and some of them might not even be the people that they expect who could make it. So a lot of people could probably get in to the Defense Force. I think it's just when you have started going to the idea of staying, I want tote gun run for the rest of my life, bro. And I ain't trying to say that in a disrespectful way. I don't really know how to say that in a respectful way. But I think after a certain point in time, joining the Defense Force or the Police Force, that's like a, you know how much of a commitment that is? Like, that's a serious commitment. And then to be told, yeah, this is you for the rest of your life. What if I don't want that to be me for the rest of my life?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And that's why I say, I don't think getting that to that mark number is going to help solve what's going on.
I mean, it ain't like you just find out what the organization about when you join, you know? Like, I mean, when I seemed to be at a very nebulous point in my life, my brother decided to recommend to me that I join the Defense Force. Now, I was tempted to ask him if he's lost his mind, if he thinks that I could be a military officer, because you could imagine me in the all white uniform with the gloves and all, marching saying God save the king. What a sick. But I mean, but no, on a serious note, like one of my friends who is a Defense Force officer, right, he's my boy. One thing about him that I realized that I like, that I never would think to do, is babe, I remember when I was in school, and I still had, and I still cared, and for whatever reason, I convinced myself to care about having clocks, right? So You know, I used to shine my shoe. As an adult man, I no longer shine my shoes. I would much rather, like, unless the shoe dirty bad, or like I just gone and for some reason a bunch of dust get on my shoe, I am not shining my shoes, bro. I'm not doing that. But him, he shines his shoes every couple of days. Sometimes the shoe don't even need polish on it, but he's still going through the polish and the buffer and the this and the that and the what have you. And I was looking at it, I was like, you know what? I ain't gonna lie, this is a pretty respectable thing. So, like, it puts you in, I think the Defense Force puts you in a certain frame of mind, like, when you get it. Like you get used to the military organized kind of lifestyle. And for a lot of Bahamians, let me not say for a lot of Bahamians, and for some Bahamians, that level of rigorous, organized lifestyle is unappealing. And, you know, I could understand you go to the training and you'd be like, yeah, I could be an officer. I could be a Defense Force officer. And then you turn around and see everything it requires, and you'd be like, wait, never mind, dog. I'm so sorry I bamboozled y'all like this, because honestly, I bamboozled myself. So, you know, I could understand people not wanting to do it.
So, I don't know if you saw this article, but this article reads, BOT incumbent Wilson says re-election bid will be her last term. So, I think it was last week sometime, Bahamas Unita Teachers President Belinda Wilson announced that her re-election campaign will represent her last term. She has been president since 2008, and she has two other candidates who are challenging her, and that is the principal at T.G. Glover and Jacqueline McKinsey. Yeah, so I feel like a lot of people have a lot of mixed feelings about her methods, because I was having a conversation with someone the other day. I can't even remember who it was. They were like, you support Belinda Wilson? And they was like talking about the stuff that she did. It's like, oh, did she cause teachers to lose this and to lose that? And I was like, listen, yeah, I only know what happened while I was alive, okay? like, talking about things that happened in, what, early 2000? Oh, I'm sorry, Mom. I was like 10. I don't know what you want me to do. I didn't know. But I mean, it seems that she fights for the union, and she supports them in industrial action when need be. But I mean, I feel like so far she's been doing, or at least as far as I've been paying attention, because I've only been paying attention for the last year probably. And in the last year, I feel like what she's done has been pretty good. Because y'all know how we feel about teachers on the show. Like we love our teachers, and we feel like they should be compensated well. And
We fight so hard with teachers on this show. We must sick.
Yeah, we really do. Like, teachers is our best.
We fight hard with teachers, nurses, doctors.
Honestly. But like, I feel like...
Well, go on, sorry.
I feel like people shouldn't be taken advantage of, and they should be compensated for their work and their time. And I feel like in this country, a lot of times we take advantage of that. And because people like teachers and nurses and doctors, they always go above and beyond as best as they can. We expect that to be the normal. So when they're not compensated for their work, we're like, oh, well, you're supposed to do that. You're a doctor, regardless if you get paid or not. I feel like, babe, you know what? No, doctors just go into things loving what they do. You know? I mean, they want their money. Because I did it one day. I was working somewhere. If or any regular behavior working somewhere, I'm somebody holding up on their bonuses, or holding up on their extra pay, or holding up on renewing their contract, y'all gonna be hot and y'all gonna burn on the place. So why wouldn't doctors do it? Teachers do it. Nurses do it. Oh, that's their duty. They sign up. Oh, okay, but they deserve to be compensated too. So.
Oh, I remember the other group of people that we tend to fight for as service workers too. We fight for mm-hmm. All of your causes. But I mean, the thing is, the very big misconception about doctors is, I mean, because, you know, you always hear that a doctor takes a Hippocratic oath, as in, and the only thing that 95% of people know is from that whole oath, which is pretty long actually, is do no harm. A doctor will do no harm. You know, like, they won't try, as in, a doctor wouldn't do anything to try to harm their patient, essentially. But I mean, at the same time, right? Beyond what you said. The thing that people gotta understand is thing that you really gotta understand is that doctors spend a long time going to school for y'all to turn around and not listen to what they saying. Like, I could be real with you. And it ain't nothing, and it ain't no surprise. People know that they don't listen to every single thing that their doctor advises them to do or tells them to do. Because for whatever reason, you still could think to yourself, oh yeah, well, I know my body better than my doctor, so this is the person that you trust to check up on you to make sure everything on the up and up. But I know my body better. The doctor tell you, listen to your body, because your body might cry out in pain before I could get to you. And then you just talking foolishness. But no, I mean, we also like to attach this idea to doctors, that being a doctor, and I focus in on being a doctor because this is the one that really gets this type of treatment. Like, people are confused. Like, why would you become a doctor and then turn around and not serve people? Because we all have this idea of doctors being these, like, doctors are like saints. Like, they're the best people ever. These are the creme de la creme. These are the folks that, you know, when you feel bad, you just tell them your problems. They have patient doctor confidentiality, this, that, and the third, all of this. So they're generally seen as pretty nice guys. So it's pretty hard to imagine that a doctor would turn around and be like, yeah, bro, I'm not going to come into work because you're not paying me. Those two things conflict each other. You can't be a nice guy and then turn around and say, oh, you ain't doing something if you ain't getting paid. And at the same time, no matter how you feel about a doctor, he got bills to pay too at the end of the day. He got bills to pay. He probably have student loans to pay, and they probably 10 times as much as yours. Because, like I say, doctors have been in school for years. They don't come out at minimum a general practitioner almost 30, unless they get in early or they take extra courses and skip whatever have you and this, that, and the next. But on average, they come out like touching 30. So, you'd like to get some money for all that hard work that you spend in trying to learn how to get the people to tell you that you're talking foolish.
Yeah, and like, I feel like even though we use doctors as an example or whatever, but teachers, for instance, don't get paid nearly as much as doctors do. And obviously, for whatever reasons, you know, doctors go to school for a longer period of time, but teachers are still important because they literally teach the youth of our country. Without teachers, literally, where would we be, you know? And I feel as though, like, she helped negotiate with the wage, because the increase in wage, the first proposal they had was absolutely foolishness, and the teachers disagreed. They all voted against, well, most of them, I guess, voted against it, and they decided that, hey, she stood up for them. Hey, this is not what we want. We need something better. And she, until she got an answer from the government, she was in the media saying that, hey, we're still waiting on a response. We were writing letters and stuff like that. So I feel like in that regard, she was doing her duty as a president. So however people may feel about her or whatever, I feel like she actually listens to her members or whatever. At least as it seems. All I'm
trying to say is, bro, shout out to Mrs. Wilson for being the president from 2008. If you are reelected, that would mean that you serve for 15 years, which would mean that you were more dedicated to being the head of a union than apparently Defense Force officers.
Stop.
Are dedicated to being Defense Force officers. I couldn't help myself. I mean, come on. Come on. That one was too easy, man. That was right there. But shout out to her for real, though. That's honestly very commendable. Whether she wins or not, it's very commendable, and she should be recognized for I mean, hey, being the president of a union ain't easy, son.
Nope.
Ain't not easy. That's an unpaid task. That's one thing that people got to remember. Being a president, leading a union is an unpaid task, and you normally get on the nerves of everybody. You normally get on the nerves of the principals and the administration that you work for when you're the head of the union. So, shout out to her for holding down the fort for over a decade.
Yep. So, with that being said, I want to, you know, segue into our tourism industry, I guess. So, I'm pretty sure everybody at this point has heard that the mask update will be lifted on, well, today. Yeah, so the mask mandate will be lifted today, and you no longer will have to wear a mask. Granted, you can if you want to, but it's no longer going to be, like, a part of so-called safety protocols or rules, basically. So the Bahamas Hotel and Tourism Association president, Robert Sands, said that the removal of remaining COVID-19 protocols will place the Bahamas on a level playing field with its competitors in the tourism industry. So, where's my lesson? So,
I'm surprised it takes this long.
Actually, when the Prime Minister was elected, he did say that he wanted to lift the mask mandate, but he was going for a certain percentage of the population to be vaccinated first. Now, I don't know if the number ever got there, or if it's just it's probably just because COVID numbers are slowing down. But yeah. So
I'm sure that's a very conditional thing.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. I just could be honest about it. I mean, when was the last time you've seen a COVID tracker update?
Not for a while.
Yeah. Not to say that we're not keeping track anymore, but just to say, you know, COVID hasn't really been lucrative news per se for the past little while. So the idea, not to say that there's, and I'm not trying to say that there's some foul play, there's some mysterious foul play involved. I'm just saying that to say, like, COVID, we kind of been, I mean, even though we're probably not in the state of it to still be considered a pandemic, it's still pretty deadly to other people, and well, to some people, and it's still a mutating virus. It still mutates. I'm sure there's a new strain out there that isn't very popular because it's not a simple Greek letter anymore. It's probably like Omega Lambda 26 variant. But you know, I could see why. I mean, I'm just, like I said, I'm just honestly surprised that it's taken so long, considering when they were in the opposition, they were not the biggest fans of the mask mandate. They had all these questions and assumptions, and then they got in office and they didn't immediately remove it, which is, you know, shout out to Bray for listening to the data, whatever data he may have gotten behind closed doors and we haven't been privy to. But shout out to him for listening to the data and waiting a while. I mean, he's waited for it's been over a year since they've been elected, and they have not, and they are just taking the mask mandate down when some people would have said that would have been like one of their top priorities. They're going to immediately take down the mask mandate, and it's going to do such irreprehensible damage to our society, because why would you do that? Why would you expose Bahamians? But yeah, sorry for hijacking your thing about, you know, tourism.
Yeah, the only place you require to wear a mask is in the classroom, in a health facility, or in a non-resident worker of a long-term care residential facility. Oh, if you're a non-resident worker in a long-term care facility. So other than that, you will not have to do that. So I'm guessing I'm guessing his whole point is that when tourists come here, granted, in hotels and stuff, they don't be wearing masks, but I guess.
Yeah, you can't force people to wear masks if they're tourists.
Yeah, but I figured, I know if you go into town, if they decide to go into town, I ain't take nobody letting them in Asia but no mask on. So I guess, and he's saying that that would help level the playing field because it would bring back some sense of normalcy. Because in the, at least in the States, I don't know about anywhere else per se at the moment, but I know in the States, they're not required to wear a mask anymore for a while now. So I guess it will be annoying for American tourists to come here and have to wear a mask if they decide to go into town or other places. Yeah.
A lot of people, come here as tourists and they just stay at the hotel grounds anyway, and then they and then they turn around and wonder why the Bahamas is so expensive. Did you see the video of the woman that came here and like her travel agent didn't tell her about like the regular things that a travel agent should tell you about, and then she proceeded to get upset at the country, and it's like no, you're broke. So
No, Dudley. Granted, the stuff are expensive over here, and I feel like sometimes I feel like
the but the Bahamas isn't. But the Bahamas, see the thing is though, the Bahamas isn't a regular. This isn't a regular tourist destination. This is a luxury. This is a luxury tourist destination, and I mean a part of it is the mythologizing of the country, via movies and all the extra propaganda and this, that, and the third. That has made us become the way that we are, has made us what we are. But at the same time, you know, you can't come here if you, you know, if your job ain't paying like it's supposed to be paying, then why are you coming here? No, but I'm being serious because it's hard. I mean, listen, it's hard enough to be a Bahamian. You can imagine coming to be a tourist. Like tourists are. Like a tourist who come here to stay in a hotel, not coming here on a cruise ship. Now, you as a tourist decide you're coming to the Bahamas and you're gonna spend all of your time in a hotel. You're gonna have to pay more money for stuff in the hotel because that's just everybody knows that everything is more expensive in a hotel. And Atlantis is one of the top hotels in the world. Bahama is one of the top hotels in the world. So, you know, it's expensive to be here. It's expensive to live here, as a matter of fact. So, I know I sound so insensitive saying that, especially considering, I might even sound hypocritical because of my very strong stance of us needing to move away from the tourism industry. But at the same time, in the reality that we live in, we're a tourism-based economy, being a tourist is expensive. You should expect to spend money. Lots of it.
We spend money as it is, trying to keep up with our regular prices. So imagine a hotel. Like, come on,
bro.
I mean, my question too is, okay, me as a person, if I'm going to a country that I've never been to before, personally, whether I have a travel agent or not, I'm going to research things about this country. And to me, it sounds like she didn't necessarily do her research. And then
you can't afford the Bahamian luxury experience. And that's fine. Billions of people will never set foot on Bahamian soil. Nobody, like, we has never think about that. As Bahamians, we take it for granted. There are billions of people that will never come to the Bahamas ever in their life because they can't afford it. And I'm sorry, but once you get here, it's expensive. It's very expensive here. We don't advertise that part because that doesn't sound very good, but it's expensive to be here. Sorry.
That's what I'm saying. She didn't research in advance, and then she expect everything to speak cool and good. You can't go to a foreign country like she came from America, right?
Yes, she came from America.
You come from America, where things are, even though some countries are more expensive, some states are more expensive than others. You can't expect to come here and get America prices, bro. Like our stuff is like three times the price.
That's like if you come here from America and you rent a car and then you go to the gas station, you'll faint. You'll faint. You know, like gas in America, they used to gas being like $2 and something cents. When was the last time gas was $2 and something cents over here? Tell me. I won't know. I won't go back to that time.
that the last time gas was mostly $5, below $5, I think, when I was looking, was mostly 2080.
Gas is $5.97. Excuse me. $5.97 of Rubis would be saying praise God.
Yeah, when I dropped the $5.71, I say thank you, Jesus. I gone to the gas
station. I was so mad.
$50 in my car.
I was so upset. I had just put gas in the tank.
Anyway, so the next story you have, it says it's talking about trans health and access to wellness and support in the Bahamas. So trans advocates call for greater access to health and wellness support. And they're saying that lack of access to hormones and the limited amount of doctors who can treat gender transitioning people were flagged as a central challenge for transgender people living in the Bahamas, according to a regional study. So having access to healthcare or mental health care is not easy because we don't have too many doctors here in the Bahamas who know about trans issues or that try to work with trans women or men, said a Bahamian trans woman who was included in this regional study. My belief is that if you want to work with trans men and trans women, you should get the training for it. Though you might have training in psychology, you still need to understand our community. Based on the study, the local experience mirrors challenges faced throughout the region with just 21% of 119 trans and gender diverse respondents stating hormone replacement therapy was available to them. So of those surveyed, 72% indicated that they never received testing for hormone levels or other medical supervision of hormone therapy. 85% of respondents said that they did not possess any government-issued identity document that matches their gender identity, and 84% said that they have not changed their name in any official documentation. Less than half of respondents, 42%, were unemployed and stated that they experienced depression and anxiety at some stage in their life. So, me personally, I feel as though healthcare and I feel like they should be given healthcare. I know we live in a religious country and people feel as though, oh, we should move away from X, Y, and Z, blah, 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 blah. Okay, cool. I understand your opinion, and it's your opinion. But I also feel like, me personally, I am a Christian, but I take the stance of that you should love all people, regardless of what they believe. Because, I mean, people out here doing the most, and y'all ain't sitting down here saying, oh, they don't deserve this, this, that, and the next. I feel like healthcare, mental health care, all of that is a basic provision of life, and that shouldn't be something that people have to fight for. It is a basic right, a basic interest.
Why do they sound surprised? I mean, and I know I'm going to sound insensitive, but trust me, it comes from a good place. But if you're going to be a trans person in the Bahamas looking for healthcare locally, I hope you're excited to be a guinea pig, because I don't think any Bahamian doctor practicing had ever went into medicine with the idea that they were going to be dealing with trans people in the Bahamas in 2022. And I say that not to say that, you know, it's a case of a prejudice against you guys specifically. But I mean, what did you expect? Like, seriously, what did you expect? Yes, we have therapists and stuff like that over here, but they're probably not trained. They probably don't have enough experience working over here to help you with your issues in the first place. And being a trans person is like, first of all, think about it like this. To be a Bahamian is to contribute to like 0.00001% of the world's population. Then to turn around and add to that, you're a Bahamian gay person, gay man or lesbian. You're in a further, you've just added several more zeros to your percentage. And then, but then if you're a trans person, you've put yourself in a category of like the bottom percentile of people that exist. You are basically a unicorn at that point. I'm happy to tell you, you're a unicorn, but I'm sad to tell you, you're a unicorn. We have veterinarians that know how to treat horses, not unicorns. We have doctors over here are pretty much used to dealing with cis-hetero people with cis-hetero problems. And I feel, and whilst I will say that you should always advocate for your rights, we gotta think about it. We don't have laws to protect against marital rape. We don't have equal laws on passing down citizenship. We don't have equal opportunity for men and women. We don't have this. We don't have that. We don't, as a society, we hardly respect gay people. And when I say that, let me rephrase that. We hardly respect openly gay people. Like, there's a list of, I understand that you could get to this point now because you could look over to our neighbors in America and see where the trans movement is in America and see how far behind we are here in terms of trans movement, trans rights, trans anything. But you gotta understand, in America, we had to watch the gay people fight for their life to get the right to get married over there. We just watched them ban abortions, basically. Like, I hate to say it, but y'all are not on the list of priorities for medical practitioners over here. And and that sounds very cold, and I sound very, you know, removed from it. And I'm not a part of the trans community, so I am very removed from it. I sympathize with you, but we have a stigma against healthcare, period, here. So we haven't even gotten to the point where everybody feels like it's okay to go to a therapist. So I think that being a trans person, just existing as a trans person in the Bahamas, that has to be one of the most depressing things ever. So I know this is a very difficult thing, but the only thing I could really recommend you to do is you'd have to try to move to get the access to the things that you need to live. Like, I think that you can get like hormone therapy for if your hormones are out of balance, but not hormone therapy to say like you're transitioning over here. I don't think that's possible. If it is, I'd like to know. But I mean, being a trans person here is top 10 most depressing existences to have. So you are going to, I feel as though our generation is probably going to die before we see proper trans healthcare here. Like, our whole generation, we're going to go on from Gen Z back to Gen A before that happens. So unless we have an extreme radical reform within the next couple of years. So I don't want to sound insensitive to your plight. It sounds intense what you need, but I am telling you, you will die before they allow this to happen in your lifetime. You will die first. So try everything in your power to move, because it's not going to happen for you here. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah. I think you made valid points. I guess it may be, it may sound cold or harsh, but we have to look at the reality of what it is. The simple fact that we have a culture enough in our country that allows people to get away with mistreating their wives, because you mentioned marital rape. Sexual assault in general is taken as a joke within this country. We have a lot of boxes to tick before we get there. And not saying that anything else takes priority over it, you know, but I'm just looking at it from the standpoint of how Bahamian lawmakers are going to look at it. In a country that's filled with Christians, whether we want to anyway, that's
not it.
No, like, Christians, they're not gonna let that. They're gonna fight till they're dying.
If we think about it honestly for a second, America is a country that is over 200 years old, and they are just beginning to care about gay people. As a country, they are over 200 years old. They're just starting to care. And the next thing with that is as well, I just don't want to sound like such a cold-hearted person, but I can't really put it no better than how I said. Like, bro, you're going to suffer and die here before you get the proper care that you need. So you gotta listen. I know how you're gonna hustle up the money to do it, but you gotta move. Like, you can't, like, the one trans person that I know, like, on a semi-personal level, they used to work for my brother. He was born a man, but she's a woman now. She moved. Like, when she transitioned, she moved because she knew that life was not sustainable here. And it's sad. It's sad that where you were born can't accept you for who you are or what you are, you know. Like, it's sad to say, but I mean, come on, we have a culture that shelters rapists in our family. We just tell you go in the room when the uncle come, or we tell, it's like me and Selena was just saying, we tell little boys, if an older woman comes on to you, that's great. We call little girls fast because they go and talk about, because they have an older boyfriend. We blame children for being manipulated. We blame wives for getting raped. We blame gay people for being gay. So, I'm very confident they're going to tell you. If you go to a doctor right now and you tell them, say, I feel as though I'm a trans person, they will probably tell you that you suffer from gender dysmorphia sooner than giving you the care that you need. They will sooner try to convince you that you are not what you are before they help you. So I don't want to, you know, it's not right. I don't think it's right. I think you should be able to get the health care that you need, to get the care that you need. But it's not going to happen right now. It's not happening right. It took America 200 years to get it. Like, and there have been trans people in the newspaper since like the 1950s, 1960s. Black people just got civil rights 50 years ago over there, 60 years ago over there. Like, come on. We can't look at the advancement, quote unquote, advancement of our neighbors and then compare it to the situation over here. Y'all realize that this is a majority black country that is founded on systems of racism that still exists, right? Like, come on. We got a lot to fix before we even begin to think about trans people. I'm sad as it is to say, there's a lot burning in the house that needs to be put, the fire needs to be put out on before we have time to go into the problems of trans people. We don't even have the time to go into the problems of men. Women, we don't have time to talk about the problems, really. So, I mean, I know, but like, it is what it is. It's a sad tale.
Yeah, but there's a lot of systemic issues within this country that have to be addressed. I'm not gonna tell these people to not continue to fight, because I feel like if you have a positive movement, you should fight, try to be the voice of change, but. We have to sit here also too and look at reality.
We had an insightful and interesting conversation today. We talked about a lot of important topics. Yeah, so you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Candid242 to keep up with what we're doing. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Candid, where we have real talks with real people. Keep it real, bombers.